Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, we are tonight going to do something a little different. And that is, we are, instead of one message, 30, 40 minutes, whatever typically we squeeze into on a Wednesday night, we're going to have three short little messages, devotionals, if you will, scattered throughout our time of worship. And so I'm going to share the first one, obviously, here I am. And then we'll have some time of worship and then go into the next message that Rick Mazza will bring to us. Some more worship, and then Isaac has a devotional message as well. So you can see on the screen behind me that I want to talk to you about something in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So you are welcome to turn there in your Bible if you so desire. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. All the T's in the New Testament, they're all kind of connected there together. Thessalonians and Timothy and Titus. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, even though I just turned 60, you don't have to be 60 to be guilty of this. Those times when your sunglasses are on your head. You know where I'm going with this. And you're in a hurry, man. You're racing out the door, and it's like you grab your keys, grab your stuff, whatever it is. It's like, oh, man, where are my sunglasses? I need my sunglasses. No, they're not in my car. Where are they? And they're on your head. And you get angry, and you get frustrated. And where did I leave them? And sometimes reasons to give thanks are just as obvious as where those sunglasses are in times like that. But we miss it. We don't realize it. And so that's why I wanted to share this passage with you tonight from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at these two verses with me. It says, we always thank God. We always thank God for all of you. And we continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So those are commendable traits, right? I mean, you think about that and you go, wow, that's pretty cool. And stuff worthy of remembering and certainly of thanking the Lord for. And I think for us, we need to do the same thing. I believe that God would have us also do what Paul did there in that letter to the Thessalonians. And that is, first of all, to intentionally recall those people that are in your sphere of influence, those people in your family, those people in the place you work, those people in your church. And to think about those, to intentionally recall them, and secondly, to deliberately name their commendable traits, to speak of what those are. And then lastly, to give thanks to the Lord in prayer for those commendable traits. Now, when Paul wrote this, he wrote it, obviously, to the church of the Thessalonians, right? But his letters were read amongst other churches. His letters are for all the church for all time. It wasn't just for that church, but other churches. And other churches are made up of the same stuff that you and I are, right? Flaws and all. And yet, despite that, and again, the church that Paul would have addressed at any given point in time would be just like us. Paul took the time to recollect these various attributes and these specific traits that these people had in the church. Now, did they have flawed characteristics? Well, yeah, certainly they did, of course. And here's the sad thing, is that my natural tendency, and sorry, but yours too, is not to focus on attributes like that. It's not to focus on traits like that. My natural tendency as a human is I focus on the opposite. My natural tendency is to focus on the uncommendable side of others and their traits. And I believe that's why the Lord had the Apostle Paul write this in Philippians 4. I don't know if you can read it on the screen. I think you can. But Philippians 4:8, Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, you know this passage, don't you? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything, I like that, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think, dwell on, ponder such things. Think about such things. And I believe the Lord had to have Paul write that because that's not what we naturally do. The Lord doesn't need to instruct us in the things that we naturally do, right? We naturally love ourselves. So you don't have the Bible telling us over and over again, love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. Okay, I do that. Sadly, I do that well. But the Lord has to tell us in his word to love others, right? In a variety of ways and places, how to love others and the fact that we need to love others. And so there are people in your life, in your sphere of influence, those places where God has you strategically placed, that you may be missing the opportunity to thank God for them. And so those obvious reasons like Paul found, we need to do that. We should do that. Because if you and I do that, if we take the time to do that, just like the Apostle Paul did, it's going to enhance your time in prayer with the Lord. It's going to make your communion with the Lord sweeter. And it also will encourage you in your own walk when you do that. And then lastly, it's going to enable you to enjoy a blessing that comes from a grateful heart. That's what the Bible says in Psalms. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good for you. It's not that God needs it. It's God's, man, I'm really hurting. If you could just, you know, give me some thanks. No, it's for me. It's for you. And so when I do this, what Paul did, I enjoy that blessing of a grateful heart, not a frustrated heart or a bitter heart. And so think about doing that. I do. I thank God for you, fellow refugees. Obviously, tonight you desire to grow in the knowledge of his grace. I thank the Lord for that in you, and that you desire to extend that grace. You don't desire just to hold it in. You want to extend that grace to others. I thank the Lord for that as I see it in you. So let me pray, and we'll continue with some worship, all right? Father, thank you. Lord, that you have shown us through the Apostle Paul that it's wise to take the time just to recollect and remember those that you've placed in our lives, Lord, strategically, Lord. And then for us to go to prayer, just that you might bless them, and Lord, that we might thank you for them. Lord, make us a people like that, Lord, that we might be a grateful people that thank you, Lord, for those gifts that are right before us, those blessings of those people that are obvious, so obvious we sometimes miss them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, we have so much, God, to be thankful for. God, there's so much that you've done in our lives, and you've just shown yourself over and over again, Lord. Father, I pray that as Thanksgiving approaches, that it won't just be another holiday where we say, oh, now I remember what I'm thankful for. God, that it would be something continual, that throughout our days, God, here, that we would be thankful to you, God, for what you've done. God, thank you so much for just being here. Thank you for allowing us to gather, God, to just worship you. Go before us the rest of this night. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. All right. God bless you guys. Man, I love it when we get to worship together as a family. I love it when we just get to pour out our hearts and not worry about who's looking or what's going on, but just focus on Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. How many of us tonight, just a nod of heads, would agree that we have a lot to be thankful for? Oh, so much. Who's thankful for grace, for love, for patience, for how God just knows how to get a hold of us when we sometimes are stuck in our moods. I love it. I'm so thankful for it. And I hope that tonight we all have that attitude of thankfulness, of gratitude for him. I want to share a verse with you guys that is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And it reads the following. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We have so much to be thankful for. And one of the things that I'm very grateful for is the ohana that we have here at Refuge Huntington Beach. Regardless of our differences or certain viewpoints or unique personalities, we manage to maintain a wonderful ohana in Christ. And if you're looking at me and you're thinking, what is ohana? I brought a little blue critter that's going to explain a little bit more.
Ohana means family. Family means nobody
gets left behind.
Or forgotten. Yeah.
Ohana means family. In the tough times, in the good times, we are designed to be there for each other. Sometimes it may be through a word of encouragement, prayer, or other times it's just lending a helping hand. At the end of last month, during our Harvest Festival, many of you got to meet my alter ego, DJ Rixmix. Keep it a secret. Shh, don't tell anyone. And I was so thankful to be a part of those festivities. However, one of the biggest blessings to see was all of us work together as one family. From the volunteers who dedicated time and resources to the setup and teardown, candy, runners, and everything in between, it was such a treat to witness our family contributing as a whole. There was no position greater or more important than any other because it took the collaboration of the body as a whole to make it function properly. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." In this verse, Paul compares the body of Christ to a human body. Each part has a specific function that is necessary to the body as a whole. The parts are different for a purpose, and in their differences, they must work together. Christians must avoid two errors. Number one, being too proud of our abilities, or number two, thinking that we have nothing to give to the body of Christ. We should use our different gifts and abilities to spread the good news of salvation. 1 Corinthians 12:26, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." In this verse, Paul makes it clear that there is no such thing as private or individualistic Christianity. We shouldn't stop enjoying our relationship with God, but we need to get involved in each other's lives. Not in a nosy way, nobody likes that, but in a helpful way. We are many members and we need to be thankful and appreciative towards each other. You'll notice that once we take on an attitude of thankfulness, we begin to appreciate and value each other more and more. Yes, we will still come across the differences and disagreements, but in the end, if we choose to be thankful, we acknowledge God's grace. Recognizing that the grace is something we don't deserve, but it's something we sure are thankful to have. It keeps us away from entitlement and allows us to grow deeper in community with the Ohana, or family, of Christ. I challenge you, family, tonight to practice thankfulness. Smile often and compliment someone on one thing. Don't allow something as trivial as forgetting someone's name, I know we've all been there, myself included, to get in the way. Or maybe someone that you've passed by here at the church for some years and think, man, I really haven't had an in-depth convo. Don't let that prevent you from being thankful with each other. Remember that those in the family of Christ have experienced the life-altering effect of Jesus saving us. And what better foundation to start a friendship and grow as a family than with that sweet gospel truth? Let us be thankful with each other. Let us remember that it is God who has gifted us with so much. And so tonight, as we are continuing to talk about thankfulness and worship God in that, know that we can be thankful towards each other. We can be thankful for what he's done. And when we take on that attitude, it's something amazing. Something amazing happens. We're going to have different personalities, but one thing for sure, I'm thankful for this family. I'm thankful that here at Refuge, we can call on each other. We can be there for each other through word, through prayer, whatever it is. So let's continue to be thankful. We're going to pray, and then we're going to continue to worship. Heavenly Father, I thank you again so much, Lord. Father, that we would meditate on your truth, on your word, on what it says, that we would be thankful, Father, of everything that you've done and towards each other. Help us with our attitudes, and sometimes maybe when we get rebellious. And God, just to press forward, Lord, in thankfulness and gratitude towards you. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Here tonight. We want to make much of you, Jesus. We want to glorify you. We want people leaving here more in love with you, Lord. And so speak through your word, as you always do. Minister to us, Holy Spirit, in only ways that you can. In your name we ask, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, if you guys can take a seat. And just to piggyback on what Rick and Alan have shared, guys, God is doing something crazy awesome in this church. If you guys have been coming here for a long time, haven't gotten really plugged in, I encourage you guys to do so. And if this is your first time here and you have no idea who these weird people in this room are, I really encourage you guys to do that, because having the privilege of growing up in this church, it's going to be 10 years now that I've been here, it's just to see men and women teach me, disciple me, love me, at times rebuke me, all in the name of family, all in the name of pointing one another to Jesus. And so kind of to piggyback on the Ohana and on the wisdom from Alan, guys, this church is, and I hear a lot of, because we're in Huntington Beach and we're in California and we get a lot of passing, people, and people from other churches will come here, whether it be on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday night, and say, man, you guys have something weird about tonight. You guys have something weird about, like, how, the way you guys fellowship and love one another. And guys, I just never want to get to a point where that's something we get accustomed to, because it is really an act of the Holy Spirit and the way that he loves and ministers and uses us. You've got the Holy Spirit too, and so you are equipped for ministry. And so if you haven't done that, I just felt really prompted by the Lord to do that. It is so huge. It is so huge. And so we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you guys want to turn there. But like I opened, guys, the whole goal of this is we want more of Jesus, more. We want to see his power unleashed amongst his people, and really guidance. And so a cool thing here, and I want you guys to pay attention to this. Neediness is a sign of weakness. Neediness is a sign of weakness. It's a need of guidance. It's neediness that breaks the grip of our strength on whatever situation we find ourselves in. Spiritually speaking, neediness is a beautiful thing. We've all seen the neediness. If you guys can go back to high school, right? Anyone in here been in a needy relationship? It's awkward. It's weird. It's like, oh gosh, she won't stop texting me, or some crazy, awkward stuff. But it spiritually, that's when we hear most from the Lord. Spiritually, and we're going to look at the text here, what Paul says. When you see Paul's heart and just pleading and asking for God, God, remove this of me. It is when he's the most needy. And then when people try to puff him up because of his credentials, of stuff that he's done and stuff in the past, man, it is when he is utterly needy is when God works powerfully through Paul. And so the verse I'm going to be sharing tonight comes out of 2 Corinthians. And a little bit of background for 2 Corinthians is the first 9 chapters deals with him just defending his position as an apostle, right? Because Paul was a terrorist. Right, Paul was, in our modern vernacular, Paul was a member of ISIS and killing Christians and saying, hey, like, I'm about killing Christians. And then so coming to the Lord, and then Christians knowing, oh snap, I'm pretty sure I saw him kill a bunch of our family members, and now he's saying he's a Christian. This might be some covert operation. This is just weird. And so out of those reservations, out of those doubts, people were like, dude, Paul's a phony. The Saul of Tarsus, actually, they didn't call him Paul. Saul of Tarsus is a phony, and he's actually going to infiltrate the church. And so part of 2 Corinthians, the first 9 chapters, deals with him defending his apostleship. It deals with him actually saying, no, Jesus actually spoke to me and told me these things that I'm sharing with you. And then the last 3 chapters of this letter, he wants me to realize that he, along with us, are nothing without him. He gets gnarly. he gets pretty gnarly. And so also a couple things about Paul. Paul, as you guys know, Paul's got a reputation. Paul's got credentials. Let's just say he's a Harvard Law School of Theology graduated top of his class. No one could top him. He just had books of the Bible memorized. That's who Paul was. And the moment people would try to put him on a pedestal, he'd be like, no, guys, like it is but the grace of God upon my life that I am used for anything. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, zeroing in on verse 8, he says, concerning this thing, what is this thing? He's talking about two things in the previous verse where he talks about. It says, He had a messenger of Satan to buffet him. So literally he had a demon kind of following him around, socking him up, just trying to trip him up in whatever way possible. And so he's got a demon messing with him. And then secondly, he's got a thorn in the flesh, some sort of physical ailment. Nobody really knows what that is, but he's got a demon and some physical ailment that is just getting at him. And then continuing on the verse, he says, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Can you guys hear the angst there? Do you guys read that and say, the Apostle Paul reverently and in self-control asked three times Jesus that he would depart from me? No. I picture Paul saying, God, like, remove this from me. Three times he's saying, Lord, this is physical ailment. I got this demon. I'm casting out demons for your name. Like, can you just give me a break? Do you guys sense the angst? Do you guys see the angst in the tone of him saying, Lord, I pleaded three times for you to get this out of my life? And guys, looking back at what God, and all of us here in different stages of life, looking back, in the times where you were most humbled, in the times where you were struggling the most, how was your angst when it came to calling out for God? What did that prayer life look like when you were calling out for God and saying, Lord, I can't get rid of this addiction? Lord, I don't know how to fix my marriage. I don't know. I need you, Lord. And the cool thing about this text is that this isn't a principle drawn from the text, but you see the spiritual neediness of Paul. And if you've been coming to church and if you drink coffee, you'll see this verse on a mug, right? We all know the continuing of verse 9, right? He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in his weakness. So guys, that's kind of, God forbid we ever get to a point where we walk into a place here, we walk into refuge and say, man, I got it. I'm good. Like I got this whole Christian walk dialed in. Like I am good. God forbid for us to ever get to a point like that. I on purpose want, and so in an applicational way, we're going to get into groups of maybe three or four and just seek God's face. Seek God's face to continue to do the things that he's doing and for him to keep us there needy. Spiritually, guys, neediness is a crucial thing when it comes to following the Lord. Crucial thing when it comes to following the Lord. And so I'll pray us out to release us to pray, but we're going to spend like 10 minutes just saying, Lord, keep us needy. Lord, keep us where, man, where your word says, without me, you can't do anything. Like, I'm going to literally believe that. I cannot work and pursue my relationship with my wife if it isn't without you. I can't go into work and love these people that drive me crazy if it isn't for your grace. Church, that's the sort of heart and attitude we must always remain, we must always have. Amen? And so let's pray for that, just calling God and say, Lord, we so need you. We so need you. And so, Lord, as a family here, we're getting before and we're meeting and getting together in groups of three or four. Lord, the angst that we see here in the Apostle Paul and the angst that you see in all the disciples, Lord, may because of the situation that we see ourselves in here in Orange County, in a place where self and selfishness is something that is so promoted, Lord, may we just be about seeking you, about being spiritually needy and seeking after your face. And Lord, we can't fake that. We can't fake the spiritual bankruptcy, Lord, that we have and that we feel if it isn't apart from your grace. And so, Lord, help us to just get on our faces now in the posture of our hearts and just say, Father, we need you. Help us. Help me in this situation. Help me in my marriage. Help me at school. Help me, Lord, because without you, I cannot do anything. Lord, we ask this. Please help us. In your name we pray.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.